Will you kindly bow your heads with me as we approach the throne of grace today? Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for being here with us. We thank you for the amazing gifts that you've given in your Son, in the world, in your love. And today, Lord, we do thank you for the amazing gift of our moms. Bless us now, Lord, as we open up your word. May we understand more clearly about your love and experience a connection with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends and I were hanging out years ago, just a bunch of guys doing what guys normally do. Some male bonding going on. We were there talking about music, talking about sports, and making fun of each other. But then we did something that, guys tend to do. We started arguing while we were hanging out. Again, nothing unique there. We used to argue about the best sports team or the best band. So you see, this friendly arguing that we were doing was not strange. But the topic that we were arguing about was. We started discussing a subject matter that we had never discussed before. We began debating a subject that I would hazard to guess rarely ever comes up when guys hang out. So what was this strange subject matter, you ask? We were discussing who had the best mom. You see, it was Mother's Day weekend, and we were hanging out that night, and one of my friends mentioned what he had bought for his mom. And then he made the mistake of referring to her as the best mom in the world. Poor fellow was very confused that night. Another one of my friends corrected him and said, well, wait a second, now your mom is the second best mom in the world, because mine's number one. And then I had to set the record straight and help these two confused chaps understand who actually was the best mom, and in fact it was mine who was the best mom ever. And so we kind of went around the table laughing and poking fun at each other and friendly debating over these special women in our lives. Guys can do that. We can debate endlessly about who the greatest sports player ever was. We can have those arguments. Boys can get together when they're young and they can argue for hours over who is the coolest superhero. But apparently, guys can also get together and discuss and debate and argue over who is the world's best mom. Now this morning, you've probably only half been listening to me. The other half of your brain has been thinking of facts and stories that you can share with me when the sermon is done to prove that your mother is in fact the greatest of all time. Well, moms are incredible, aren't they? They make a lasting impact in all of our lives. And I'm not here to debate with you as to whose mom is the best, although I really do know the answer to that. But this morning, I thought we might spend some time looking at the most unique mom to have ever lived. Now, we all think of our moms as one of a kind, that's true. But there is a lady who lived on this world who was truly a one-of-a-kind mother. Not strictly because of her gifts or because of her love or her actions, but because of who was her child. And let's see what we can learn from this special lady this morning. As we look through the Bible, we see glimpses of Mary. Very important person in the Bible, but sometimes we as Protestants tend to forget about her and what we can learn from her. So let's see what we can learn this morning. If you have your Bibles there, I'd like you to open them with me or click on your phone or your pad until you find Luke chapter 1. That's where we're going to begin today. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 28. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, we find a visitor that comes to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Gabriel comes to this young woman and he says, rejoice. He tells Mary that she's highly favored. He tells her that she is blessed among all women. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Mary was living the good life? That she must have had tons of money and a great house. She must have had a two-car garage or a two-donkey garage. You think that's what he was talking about? Was she living a life of luxury, a life of ease? Not at all. In fact, Mary was poor. So, Pastor, how do we know that? Does the Bible talk about their economic situation? It actually does. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 2, very quickly, verse 24, it talks about the sacrifice they make later on at the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 24 says, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's the offering that you would make if you didn't have much money. So Mary is blessed. But she's blessed in spite of her current economic status. She's blessed even though at this time that Gabriel talks to her, she lacks a husband. And Gabriel tells her that she's blessed. Tells her to rejoice. So what can you and I learn from this? Friends, can we rejoice even in the hard times that come? Even when we don't have everything that the person across the street has, can we rejoice? Like the angel says to. Then we find Mary's world is forever changed. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the angel tells her why he is there. Luke chapter 1, verse 31, he says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Mary's world was going to change. She is going to have a baby. And not just any baby. Now, back at this time, all the young gals wanted to have a baby. They longed for that. But also, ladies back then longed to not just have a baby, but they all wondered, will I be the one? Will I be the one to give birth to the Messiah, to the Redeemer? And Mary is told that she would give birth to the most amazing baby ever. She would be the mother to the Son of God. Now that is a one-of-a-kind mother. Now we find Mary's response in verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Mary agrees to follow God's plan. And when you take all of life and its vastness and you boil it all down, isn't that what matters the most? Being willing to follow God's plan. What an example Mary is, not only for mothers, but for all of us. Now I want you to please understand with me this decision to follow God. And following God's plan does not necessarily lead to an easy life, does it? Very next verse, verse 39, says, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. She has to leave shortly after that. With haste, she has to leave. She's forced to leave her hometown because of the ridicule, to get away from the whispers, from the sideways glances at her noticeable condition. She leaves in haste. Life doesn't get any easier for us when we choose to follow God, but He promises to be with us every step of the way. So 9 months pass, and again, life doesn't get any easier for her. Mary and Joseph have to travel. Here in the late trimester, they have to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census. Anyone know how long a travel that is? That is about, as a crow flies, that would be 80 miles. All right, ladies, how many of you would like to go on a little journey for 80 miles in your third trimester? Rejoice, you're blessed, Mary. You get to travel 80 miles while you're 9 months pregnant. Now, there's no mention in the Bible of a donkey for Mary to ride, but seems plausible. Following God's plan is hard sometimes, amen? Ladies, how many of you would like a nice donkey ride? There at your due date for 80 miles. Well, Mary makes the journey, and she gives birth. And after having the baby, it's great to have visitors, isn't it? I mean, you've gone through that whole experience, got cleaned up a little bit, and then you want your family, you want your close friends to come and enjoy that little baby. We love having our family come to share that special moment. So Mary lies there exhausted from the delivery, and who shows up at the door? Shepherds. Shepherds show up from the field. What in the world do they want? It's probably their first thought. These dirty shepherds, they come in smelling of livestock. But they come in, and they bow down, and they tell this couple of an angel, and then a choir of angels, and they share this amazing experience that they had. And then we see Mary's reaction in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, if you'll turn there. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, I believe all moms think about the future of their child. What will he be like? What will she grow up to do with her life? But Mary, this one-of-a-kind mother, must really ponder after she listens to the shepherds. What does the future hold for my special baby? Earlier this year, while I was in Rome, we got to see lots of paintings and lots of statues of Mary. But one artist, Michelangelo, chose an extremely unique way to depict Mary. In this statue, we got to see, if I pronounce it correctly, it's called Pietà, which means compassion. And he chose a very unique way to depict Mary because this is a scene after the cross, but Michelangelo did not make her the age that she would have been at that time. Look closely at Mary there. Do you see her face? He decided to depict a young Mary holding her son's body. Fascinating depiction. I stared at this statue for a while. And I got the idea, I think, that Michelangelo had, that this young mother, when she held her baby in her arms, she pondered in her heart all that she had heard and experienced. What will his future be? This one-of-a-kind mother would one day hold her son again, but not a baby in swaddling clothes. She would hold the broken body of her son in burial clothes. What do we learn from Mary? She ponders the future of her child. Now, in the Bible, we only have a few other snapshots of Mary, but each scene teaches us something. When we turn on in the story, we find Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to Jerusalem, and Jesus is 12, the only snapshot of Jesus in his growing up years there. And many times when we talk about this story, we focus on how they lost Jesus and how they searched for him for 3 days and then what he says when they find him. But there's something very special that we learn about Mary in this story. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46. They're looking everywhere for him. Finally, they find him. Luke chapter 2, verse 46 says, "Now, so it was that after 3 days they found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." The rabbis here, the teachers, they are floored by Jesus. His questions and his answers are blowing the mind of the seminary professors right here. Now think with me. Where did Jesus get his learning from? Did he go to academy? Rabbi school? Not at all. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit was guiding him and teaching him all his life, but Jesus learned about his Father at the feet of his earthly mother. She taught him the words that he actually spoke when he gave the law, and she taught it to Jesus, and he learned. So moms, never, never sell yourself short. Never sell your role short. There's an incredible task before you. In Christian schools, Sabbath schools, even pastor, they cannot do for your child what you can do. All those other entities, they're great, and they can help train your children. They can help teach your children. But they are not, nor ever will be, a substitute for you and what you can do. When we next find Mary with Jesus, he's older. It's at the very beginning of his ministry. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 2, we find another story of Jesus and Mary. John chapter 2, we hear happy voices surrounding Jesus as they're attending a wedding feast. And in this story, and in Jesus' life, there's no mention of Joseph, his earthly father. In Jesus' adult life, we don't find it. So we can probably assume at this point in time that Mary is probably a widow. And at this wedding feast, the host runs out of drink, runs out of wine, which is a huge problem back in that day, to not have enough for all your guests. Huge problem. So in John chapter 2, verse 3, when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Mary is looking for Jesus to do something, and she knows that he can help. And we get a very interesting answer in verse 4. Jesus says, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." Jesus says, "Mom, it's not my time yet." You see what's happening here? Now, Jesus does the miracle. He helps out the host, but he instructs Mary. And he lets Mary know that he must do things his way and in his timing. At this wedding feast, we see Mary learning to let go. And at some point in every mother's life, it comes that time when your child must become his or her own person. My mom told me when my children were born, she said, "Michael, you must raise them to someday let them go." It's not an easy thing for any of us to do. But Mary, this one-of-a-kind mother, had to let her will and her plan for her son go. She had to let him walk a road that would end in a cross. She never stopped being his mom. She never stopped caring for him. But she had to learn to let him go and live his God-planned life. Another strange interchange we see in the Bible is in Luke chapter 8. Strange story of Jesus and his family. Luke chapter 8, if you turn with me there. Here we find Jesus surrounded, which happened a lot. He's surrounded by people. And he's surrounded so much by people that his family, his brothers, and his mom can't get to him. So they say, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are standing outside." And Jesus says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 21. "But he answered and said to them, 'My brother and my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it.'" Kind of sounds like a harsh statement, doesn't it? Was he throwing his mom and his family away? I don't think so. I don't think he would do that. And remember, we have evidence in the Bible because in the future, at his suffering, Mary is right at her side. He hasn't tossed her aside. And then even after his death and resurrection, Jesus' brothers, James and Jude, become leaders in the early church. So what is he saying here? This strange statement by Jesus is actually an invitation for all of us to be a part of his family. Not just by marriage or by blood or by birth, but for all of us, if we will do the word of God. Mothers must recognize that their child's life will grow beyond their own. Other people will enter your children's lives. And Mary shows us that a mother must allow her child's world to grow beyond herself. We have to let it happen. Mary had to let it happen. And then we find in the Bible the final scene for Mary. Mary is part of the story of Jesus at the very beginning of his life and at the very end. And she's the only person in the Bible that can say that, other than Gabriel and God. She's there at the start and at the end. If you turn with me to John chapter 19, we'll see our final scene for Mary. John chapter 19 and verse 25. You'll see this very, very touching scene. John chapter 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. What a touching scene. Jesus takes the time on the cross to place Mary into John's care. She's a widower at this time. Who will care for her? John will. So mothers and children out there, I want you to take this scene into your heart. Even though pain screams through Jesus' body, even though the weight of all the sin of all humanity of all time is crushing down upon him, Jesus thinks of his mom. He had to live his life, and she had to accept that other people would become a part of his life, and Mary had to learn to let him go, to let him do ministry, to let him go to the cross, but in spite of all this, she was still his mother. And as Jesus hangs, dying, fighting all the forces of evil, Mary, his mom, was on his heart. That's how important moms are to Jesus and to all of us. Our children, they start off little, but they grow up. And we have to raise them to let them go. Because at one point, they'll pull away. Their world starts off very small, but it will grow. And it will move beyond us. But our mother never leaves our heart. And she will always be at our side. Just as Mary was always at Jesus' side. Now, mothers may not be perfect. They may make mistakes. But they love. And hopefully they love unconditionally. And if your mom has made mistakes, I hope you forgive her. Because it's an impossible job. And moms, if you've made mistakes, I hope you forgive yourself. Because it's an impossible job. And maybe today we can learn a few things from this very unique character, this unique person in the Bible, Mary, who knew Jesus all his life. She gave him a bath when he was a baby. And then she watched him perform awesome miracles. And then she witnessed the unthinkable on the cross. She was there for it all. She is a one-of-a-kind mother. Not because she was perfect. I find nothing in the Bible that tells me she was sinless. But she was one of a kind because she had a one of a kind son. Being a mother is like nothing else in the world. The role of the mother has the greatest highs and the lowest lows. Mary lived those. And Jesus knows the joys and the heartaches that mothers go through. And he will be with you. For both the thrills of life and when challenges arise. Jesus knows how special mothers are because of Mary. And he knows how special each one of you are today too. Just don't ever get into an argument with Jesus about who has the most unique mom, because you'll lose that argument. It's an argument you can't win. But today and always, may we learn from this special lady, this one-of-a-kind mother, who loved Jesus from before all the way to the end. May we learn from her, and may we love, not like her, but like her son. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're reminded again of your story, Lord, and the part that your mom, Mary, played in it. And Lord, may each of these special ladies here today, through the ups and the downs of life, may they remember that they've been called to a high task, to an impossible job that they cannot do without you. And Lord, we thank you that you inspired Mary to do the amazing thing of being a mom to you. And Lord, help us to follow you now, to love like you now, and to be like you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.